For our last talk of the session, this will be by Dr. Ralph Davis. He's at Northwestern College Department of Biology, which is in Orange City, Iowa. And the title of the talk is Practical Ways to Expand Your Educational Outreach Locally, Regionally, and Nationally.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today. Sort of got on the program because of a switch. But I want to really enthuse you, as Dr. Trotter was talking about. He said we've got to put more excitement into high school biology, and I agree 100%. And we have to do that not only at the high school level, but of course at the graduate level, as I can imagine Dr. Trotter does, obviously with his intensity and enthusiasm. But we have to do all the way down to the middle school level and all the way down to the elementary school level. And often what happens with professors at colleges and universities is we tend to complain about the quality of the students that are coming in. Why aren't they better prepared? And it's easy to complain, but it involves some work to go down to those lower levels and do something about it yourself. And yet what's happening, and it's very encouraging, is across all of the different societies, the American Chemical Society, organization that I'm a part of, the Society for Neuroscientists, our leadership is saying to us, hey, you scientists in the lab, don't stop complaining and go down to these other levels and do something about it. And so science education at the lower levels is going to be tremendously useful in enthusing students about pursuing science, and good things can happen from that. So what I'm going to do today is use my neuroscience program as an illustration of how you can do that. And this works especially well, I think, for those of us who are at smaller colleges and universities. It's not going to work as well for the James Tours who are in there working 12 hours a day on their research and have 25 graduate students and 15 postdocs and so on. But for those of us in the smaller colleges and universities, we have more of an opportunity to go into our local settings and to really excite kids about science. So what I want you to do is, every time you see neuroscience here, is replace it with your own field, physics across the continuum, chemistry across the continuum, earth science across the continuum. So think in terms of your own discipline and how you can then mimic these things in your own setting. So when I spent the first half of my career as a neuroscience researcher at UW-Madison and wrote grants and was on soft money, but I had consciously decided early on in my career that I also wanted to spend the second half of my career teaching, continuing to do research because I enjoy it and love it, but also to pass the torch to the next generation. And so I started at age 45, I went and started looking. I joined a small college, Northwestern College in Orange City, Iowa, and started a neuroscience in persons program there, and I continued to bring in NIH grants while I was there. So I do NIH-funded research, I do service learning, as you see, educational and community outreach. So, welcome to the century of the brain. Neuroscience, as it relates to our personhood, is one of the most important fields of the 21st century. In fact, I think that the nature of a human being is going to be the issue for this century, the way for the last 150 years there has been the controversy about creation and evolution. Because this is going to get at the fundamental nature of who we are. And people are going to have to grapple with that. And because it's personal, people are going to take offense. And this could be a lot hotter and a whole lot more generating of sparks than anything we've seen up to this time. If you think the creation-evolution debate, Dr. Trotter just illustrated for us, is hot, this could get pretty hot too, if not hotter. The Neuroscience in Persons program is intended to prepare Christian students and others to understand, assess, effectively contribute to the dramatic changes that are occurring as we come to better understand how the nervous system affects our personhood and ultimately our society and world. There are lots of neuroscience programs out there all around the country, 275 graduate programs and about 75 undergraduate programs. But this one attempts to be unique in a Christian setting by saying neuroscience is important and I'm going to train you to be a rigorous neuroscientist regardless of whether you go into applied fields like neurosurgery and so on or basic research. But I also want you to take into account biblical and Christian view of the world and integrate that into personhood. So, welcome to the century of the brain, as it's being called, the century of neuroscience. We have the Neuroscience in Persons program. And as I tell the students, here are our majors, and your colleges have many of these, if not all of these, same majors and perhaps others. And all of these have input to the nature of neuroscience and to our personhood. And if you get trained in these areas, obvious areas that you can go into career-wise, so that's really sort of a practical side of all this, basic neuroscience, which is what I do in my own research. But, of course, that all relates to the clinical side of things as well, clinical and mental health, and increasingly this area, translational neuroscience, and translational science in general links basic sciences with clinical or health or applied sciences, and a lot more money is going into this area. But there are other areas too, and this is where this aspect of personhood really comes in. Neurotheology is a new area, as we heard Dr. Beauregard talk about, and neurophilosophy, closely related to that. What's the nature of the soul? Do we have a soul? Is dualism the way we are constructed, or is monism the way? All of this raises some phenomenal neuroethical issues because we're dealing with persons who have to make decisions about our world. And in fact, there are now neuroethics programs at University of Pennsylvania and at Stanford University. And so even the secular scientists are beginning to see we've got to grapple with these issues. So you can get PhDs now in neuroethics. Neuropolicy and neurolaw. At my alma mater, University of Wisconsin-Madison, they have a dual program. You can get a PhD in neuroscience and also an advanced degree in neuropolicy and neurolaw because someone's going to make some big decisions about policy and law. Social neuroscience. We're now putting people in two people in two separate scanners, giving them a monitor and allowing them to interact and monitoring the areas of the brain that are involved in their social interaction. So we can study hostility and aggression, which areas are activated, and like. So it's very exciting in that regard. Neuroaesthetics, study of how neuroscience relates to our creative arts, music. We are beginning to understand the areas of the brain that are involved in creation of music and visual art and other areas. Of course, if you understand how the brain works, then you also are going to begin to understand how the brain learns. And the brain is what learns. So neuroeducation, brain-based education, a very, very hot topic. And all of these fields are only going to explode in terms of their intensity and influence. Neuromarketing and neuroeconomics. We still do psychology focus groups, but now there are two companies, maybe I think I heard of a third now, that will take your advertisement, put people in scanners, and look at the areas of the brain when you show them an advertisement, and then they will tell you how to tweak that visual, musical, or other elements in your advertisement to get better responses in the dopamine, reward pathways, and pleasure centers to get people to buy more. Interesting book, if you're interested in this, called Biology, B-U-Y-O-L-O-G-Y, and there are companies that are doing this. So neuromarketing, neuroeconomics is also studying decision-making. We put people in scanners. We ask them to make decisions, economic decisions, buying choices, and to determine which areas are active in that. And, of course, neurotechnology, neuroengineering, new prosthetics, new devices that are going to enable us to have brain machine interfaces to better grapple with our world and so on. So that's the scope of the field, the NAPS programs. What I want to do here is to cross this continuum of education and community with NAPS awareness. So I encourage and train Northwestern students at our college in neuroscience through a two-track NAPS program for undergraduates using my NIH-funded research also to give them research experience, and this prepares the next generation of neuroscience educators and researchers. It also encourages outstanding young high school biology students to consider neuroscience-related careers through things like the Northwestern Neuroscience Camp that I'll tell you about that we have each summer, drawing interested students from across the country. And it reaches out with annual Brain Awareness Week events in elementary and high schools in our region and other venues, public libraries, homeschool events. We have homeschool tours, neuroscience lab visits to my lab by pre-med, pre-vet, college groups, other groups, days of learning and community. The big goal is to make people of all ages more aware of neuroscience and its increasingly important role in society, as justified by the previous slide. So my NIH research grants allows me to train students in actual research. The NAPS program actually requires students to have a research experience. They can either do it in my lab or go off campus to other labs that I network with around the country to work in a lab of their choice. So here are just a few of the 20-plus students that I've had over the years. And I study a very simple nervous system, Ascaris, which is a roundworm nematode that affects about 3 billion people in the world, mainly in the developing world, the other parasites. And we work on its neurophysiology at the cellular level and also develop pharmacology. So there's the basic questions of how does the nervous system put together? It only has 298 neurons. All of them are essentially identified. And I know a lot about the physiology, the circuitry, and so on. And the applied side of my research has to do with development of new drugs drugs, and they're finding their mechanisms of action, because pharmaceutical companies have basically abandoned the whole area of nematode and parasitology research because the people who need the drugs are in poor countries and don't have the money to purchase them. And so they have basically all of the major companies have dropped their discovery programs for new drugs. So it's an important area. So students in the lab have opportunities to do research, and here's just an example. Jason over here, he's now completed his medical training, was one of my first students, and is a cardiologist, and many others here. Joanna's completed her DO degree. Matt's a surgeon now. Josh is an otolaryngologist. All of these got research experiences through the program. Sarah just completed her PhD. She's going to Berkeley. And Melinda's in teacher education in Lincoln. I showed you our lab set up there. This is all this equipment's been purchased through the NIH grant. So I have, this is my student, my setup here, and then the student setup on the other side of this is just identical to that. Some have gone to pharmaceutical companies. And now I know I'm getting old because one of my students has gone on, gotten her PhD, has come back, and is now a colleague of mine as a professor in the chemistry department. So this was a. Then we go to the meetings, so they have an opportunity to put together posters, give presentations and talks. Just other students here, it gives you an idea of the, what they're able to learn in terms of neurophysiology, how to deal with the equipment and the like. Another student here working in the lab. It's exciting because at a smaller school, sometimes students don't have opportunities to do this equipment. Another student just working in the lab doing experiments. So educational community outreach activities. The annual Brain Awareness Week is an event sponsored by the Dana Alliance for Brain Initiatives and the Society for Neuroscience, and it's been going on for about 13 years now. And what we do during that week is I take these students and others in the program out to the Orange City Elementary School, and we do an annual hands-on school program for the, about the brain for fifth grade science classes. We also go out, have Northwest Iowa high schools. Right now, about five or six. Every year, I've been doing this now for about 4 or 5 years for different programs here. Every year, that's grown. I started out with one. Next year, I had two, three, went up, and now I'm at about five, sometimes six. They come for an annual morning or afternoon of neuroscience field trip to the college, and then they get to see that lab that you just saw, watch the students do work, and then there's a lot of hands-on stuff that I'll talk about. These events here involve age-level specific hands-on learning about neuroscience. So we look at model neurons. We look at neurons under the microscope. The kids love doing sheep brain dissections. We do human brains and slices and functional areas. We use EEG and intra- and extracellular electrophysiological recording from neurons and muscles. And we talk about career opportunities in neuroscience. So I hit them at the fifth grade level. And I get invited back every year. The teachers are incredibly enthusiastic about this, and they write to me and say, okay, when are you coming this year? So, and then I do it, hit them again at the high school level, and again, this is regional high schools in the area, and this year we were supposed to hit them at the middle school level with a mini-course day and mini-career day. They were going to come to the campus for something, again, related to the eighth grade level. Unfortunately, it got canceled because the district didn't have enough money for funding for transportation, and it got canceled. But next year, we're going to be doing that. And so the plan is to hit them at fifth grade, hit them at eighth grade, hit them at high school, and so three times. And they're going to know about neuroscience by the time they're done with their high school education. The next program that I offer in addition to those outreaches is the Northwestern Neuroscience Camp, or NNC. It's a one-week summer residential neuroscience camp at the college for outstanding high school students from across the country who are interested in neuroscience. So I said that we work locally, like in our local elementary school, our local high school, but also regionally in Northwest Iowa to hit high schools there. And this is my national outreach, and it draws students from literally all over the country. This year I had them from New York, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Florida, Missouri, Minnesota, Iowa, Montana, New Mexico, California, literally everywhere. And I'll show you some pictures of that. These outreach events involve service learning and mentoring opportunities for my Northwestern College undergraduates in the NAPS program and in my Neuroscience Honors Directed Studies and Research students and in my neuroscience course. They go as mentors to the elementary schools with me. It's part of the course. If you're in neuroscience, you're going to be going to the elementary school. If you're in my neuroscience course, when we have our field trips, and the high school students come and spend an afternoon or morning with us, my mentors are at the different stations. They're learning, they're teaching, they're getting excited about it. One of the neat things is that these students, as they graduate, they say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going on my doctorate in neuroscience. I'm going to replicate what you do. I'm going to do the same thing wherever I am. So they're learning how to do this. And again, don't be just thinking neuroscience here. Think physics, chemistry, whatever you do, and then replicate this tremendous need. Educational community outreaches. We have special speakers come in. Here was a neurosurgical physician's assistant talking about brain surgery. We have other outreach events to the community on Brain Awareness Day. Public libraries. We've done things in the public libraries. I actually take my electronic equipment to the public library and wire up adults who come in there during Brain Awareness Week. I've done that. And then we have them to the campus. And again, these are all undergraduate students who will talk with the people, have hands-on exercises. They have to design the hands-on exercise, carry it out, and talk about it with the visiting people. Here's the elementary school and just the years we've been doing it, again, sponsored by the program. Here you see some fifth graders learning about the brain, and we use models. I always wear my brain cap, two brains are better than one. And I use my lab assistant to help, or students. The students are all there. Here, student over here. Here are the students. They're just enraptured by the brain. What do they get to do? They get to make model neurons. Here's making a model neuron out of clay. They're writing down what the different parts are and what they do. Dendrites, cell bodies. Wow, this is cool. Here we're actually looking at motor neurons in the microscope. I mean, this is simple stuff. If you're a biology professor, you've got all this stuff. You've got microscopes. You've got some histology slides. You just put them together. Let them look. I make lots of manipulatives. Here's a model neuron. That's a milk jug there. These are the dendrites going out. You can't quite see. There's little film canisters from the old days of photographic film. And those are the signals shooting down the dendrites to the cell body. And then we put labels on each of these parts. Shoot an action potential down this way. Ping pong balls fly out the other end as the synaptic transmitters activate the next cell. The kids look at all the levels of the brain. Here's sheep brains being dissected by the kids. So they get a chance to look at sheep brains. What do they really feel like? Here we're putting a pulse monitor on a child and getting him ready to be monitored. Here we have their teacher, Mr. T. He gets wired up. Does this guy really have a brain? I mean, after all, he's teaching you, right? And so Mr. T says, Okay, now you guys are the teachers. Make him count backwards from 500, subtracting 27 each time. So here we watch him go from alpha waves to beta waves, to high beta waves. And they're all watching this over here. And then we can wire up the kids for this, too. They get very excited about it. Here's the afternoons of neuroscience. The high school students, again, come to campus. We highlight the importance of neuroscience research, which is an important thing. Advances in neuroscience, neuroscience research techniques. Talk a lot about careers and vocations because there's different careers and vocations. And again, we do a lot of the same activities. And this is the nice thing. It's not like reinventing the wheel. We just scale it up a little bit. We don't make the clay neurons now, but we still do the recordings and things like that. And of course, we have them visit the cadaver lab, and that they really get turned on to. This is a tremendous recruiting tool. If your superiors are telling you to recruit, this is the way to do it. Here they are again. Oh, this is just one of my research students saying, here's how we do it. So what's my research student doing? He's learning how to teach. He's learning how to mentor. He's showing other people his research. That's a real high, as all of us research scientists know. And the high school students love it. Here they're looking. They make drawings and do other sorts of things. Ah, there's the high school teacher. Yeah, he's succumbed to it again, too. So there he is. He's wired up. And the kids are over here watching his pulse and his brainwave activity, asking him questions. Give out free literature provided by the Dana Alliance for Brain Initiatives and Society for Neuroscience. So that's local, regional, and now here's the nationals. Multiple camps. This tracks the students. They have to fill out an application form that asks for their GPA, high school biology and other courses they've had, junior, seniors, and so on. And they live on campus for 1 week in the dorms. They are chaperoned by my neuroscience students, or I should also say my family gets into this. This is what really makes it successful. The underlying thing that makes it successful is the fact that my wife arranges for catering for the meals. We all eat the meals together. My kids take them out, socialize with them in town, take them on the 2:30 a.m. donut run to the local bakery. All under chaperone conditions. They have to have a chaperone with them. They get a taste of college life, what lectures are like, what labs are like, what dorm life is like. what independent life is like. For some of these kids, it's the first time away from home. And so it introduces these kids to all of these different aspects of college life. And again, it involves one week. I pay my mentors, my college students, and I'm basically self-sufficient. I pay it out of the annual, out of the registration fee. $375 for a whole week covers everything, including all the expenses. So we learn about at many lectures. There's some of the equipment that you can see there that I purchased through a Lilly grant. And just to encourage you, you may be saying, okay, money, equipment, where's that going to come from? As you know, the Obama administration's proposed $10 billion for research, and they see that, hey, well, someone's got to do the research. We've got to prepare the next generation of scientists, excite them. So they're talking right now $4 billion that will be available for people like you to implement in increasing our abilities in science at the K through 12 level. How do you do it? That's what I'm trying to show you here. So there will be a possibility of getting that money, just like the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, $10 billion. There'll be something similar. We don't know what it's going to be, I don't think, yet. But and they get to work with, you know, student equipment. This is hands-on equipment it's simple student equipment, A to D converters, everything like that. But they absolutely love it. They work in teams. One of the things I tell them right at the outset is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we work in teams, and this is preparing you for the real world of research. The brain is too complex to be a loner and work on it by yourself. We have to work together in teams. They build incredible camaraderie. They're all on Facebook, you know. They link up. There are Facebook groups for each neuroscience camp, you know, that the students... the first day they come out to my home for lunch. My wife prepares a cookout. That evening we have a bonfire. They really get together. Here they're doing pharmacology experiments. They do fancy dissection experiments. Of course, I give them quotes about the brain. Food's great. They never complain about that. They have great fellowship together. And and then on Thursday this week, we actually...
We have another session that's supposed to start at 3:30.
Oh, okay.
You spoke through the break. You probably didn't realize that, but the refreshments have been on.
Okay. Then I better...
I apologize. We're going to have
yeah.
to cut it.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Okay. If you want to talk to me about any of the details, anything, I'll be happy to talk to you.
I'm sorry I have to.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm afraid people are going to leave and go to something.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. That's fine.
I can't figure out why their next session is going. I'm half an hour off. I thought we were right. Half an hour off?
Well, they didn't have a break for the
thing. Huh? No, I know that, but he was supposed to be between 3 and 3:30. It's supposed to be
yeah.
over at 3:30.
It's fine. It's fine. You got the idea. You all got the idea of what I do.
Yeah.
Okay, it's
3:30.
Yeah, that's what I'm ending.
3:32.
Yeah. Come on in. Yeah, I'm done.